Would you open your Bibles, please, at the book of Genesis and chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 8, Judah. Would you open your Bibles, please, at the book of Genesis and chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 8, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hands shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now if you come down please to verse 16, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Gad, a troop, shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind let loose, he giveth goodly words. And God will bless to our hearts at the reading of his word. Now you'll remember that last week we commenced to introduce ourselves to the 12 sons of Jacob. And in thinking about the 12 sons of Jacob, who became the 12 tribes of Israel, we thought particularly of Reuben, then of Simeon, and of Levi. Reuben, we found, meant, behold a son. And whilst that lad started off with great expectations from his parents and from others, that the words of Jacob were true, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. And so the tribe of Reuben lost the privileges which were rightfully theirs and became a very mediocre tribe indeed. And then there was Simeon. Simeon means hearing with acceptance. And if only Simeon and those who were descended from him had indeed listened to the word of God, their history would have been different. But Simeon was an instrument of cruelty, and the tribe of Simeon constantly decreased until such time as it was scattered throughout the other tribes. Little of good can be said of Simeon. And then Levi means closely joined. And at first Levi was closely joined with Simeon, and was indeed an instrument of cruelty also, and characterized by anger and self-will. Later, he repented of that, and he was closely joined to God, so that the tribe of Levi became the priestly tribe. And right through their history, God had a special place for Levi. In fact, in the millennial day of the future, all the tribes will enjoy the blessings and the nearness occupied by Levi of old. Well, now that brings us down to the fourth son, doesn't it? And the fourth son is Judah. Now Judah means praise. Praise. When Judah was born, his mother Leah was just overwhelmed with praise. And she praised the Lord, and now with the birth of this boy, Judah. Well, immediately it starts to teach us lessons, because we have all been born in similar fashion. Now, I'm not talking about our natural birth, although I trust there was rejoicing at the time when we came into this old world. I guess somebody would be happy about it. But I'm talking particularly about our new birth, when we were born again of God the Holy Spirit. Now we know that that was cause for praise. And there was rejoicing in the presence of the angels in heaven over that sinner that was repenting. Now we not only start in an atmosphere of praise in our Christian experience, but that should characterize us all the way through, just as it was characteristic of this tribe of Judah. We need to remember Paul's words when he said, "Rejoice evermore." And of course, it's going to finish with praise, isn't it? One great, glorious shout of praise to the Lord Jesus when he takes us up to be with himself. So, Judah means praise. Now, Judah was one who gave a great deal of leadership to the other tribes. The influence of Judah was quite dominant, and especially, of course, in the south, where the southern kingdom became known as the kingdom of Judah because of this dominance of the tribe. And the word Jew has come to us down through the centuries as that which was derived from the name of Judah. So whenever you think of Judah, think of a strong, dominant, influential tribe. And of Judah, it is said in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 that he prevailed above his brethren. Now that's the actual essence of Judah. He prevailed above his brethren. Judah seems to be always first. For instance, when the tribes were moving forward in their journey through the wilderness, the first tribe to move in the journey was Judah, and their standard was held up high. They were first among the warriors when they went out into battle as Israel engaged their foes. They were first in the acts of worship. And they were first when it came to a matter of prayer before the Lord. Now, how accurate Scripture is. In all this priority which is given to Judah, it takes our minds and our hearts to the line of the tribe of Judah. Remember who sprang from Judah? The Lord Jesus himself. And it is so true that in all things he might have the preeminence. And the preeminence of the tribe just simply looked forward to the great preeminence of its greatest son, the Lord Jesus himself. So, Judah, it means praise. And I just might add that when it comes to leadership amongst God's people, when it comes to showing the way, that should always be done in the spirit of praise and of rejoicing. I don't think too many people will follow leaders that have got long faces and solemn faces with a tinge of a scowl about it. I don't think they get very far in the leadership game. It's a matter of being able to show the way in a spirit of triumph and of praise. And the Lord help us to that end. Now then, following the fourth boy, that is Judah, we find that Rachel was stirred at this time to unbearable envy. And she just couldn't allow the situation of Leah bearing sons to continue. And so she brought along her handmaiden by the name of Bilhah. She gave Bilhah to Jacob, and from that union of Jacob and this handmaiden, there was born the fifth boy whose name was Dan. Now look down there please in verse 16. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. Now, Dan means a judge. And the implication is that not only would there be judges raised up from Dan, Samson being the judge that I have in mind, but Dan would assume a place of responsibility amongst the 12 tribes of Israel. Born of the handmaiden, the boy himself was able to stand as one of Jacob's 12 sons and enjoy all the privileges of sonship. Now later, the tribe of Dan was also able to lift its standard up among the tribes of Israel and be accepted as one of the 12. So Dan shall judge his people among the tribes of Israel. But although he came into this place of responsibility, if there's one way of describing Dan, it would be that he was the black sheep of the family. I don't know whether every family has to have a black sheep. Most of them seem to produce one. But certainly this tribe of, or this family of Jacob, produced the black sheep. And the black sheep was Dan. God didn't justify Rachel through the giving of a handmaiden and the birth of Dan. I'm sure that Rachel would remember this, was particularly after she gave birth to Joseph. The boy Dan around the camp would always be a reminder to her of her impatience and of her running before the Lord. Bilhah herself, the handmaiden, in looking on the lad, would always have a sense of her inferiority, even though the boy had this place among the 12. And Dan always seemed to have that impression of sinfulness, even though he continued on his way in self-will. The tribe itself, a numerous tribe, second only, as far as population was concerned, to the tribe of Judah. But by 660 BC, the Syrians came into the northern kingdom, and they took away the tribe of Dan. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, we have the last historical record of them as a tribe. They seem to have faded right out of Israel's history. And in addition to that, when we look forward to future history, remember, Dan, not among the 144,000. There's a good reason for that. In the future day, in the tribulation years, God will have his witness, as the church has been already raptured home to heaven. 12,000 Jews of each of the 12 tribes, but Dan not included. Remember last week I told you who came in the place of Dan? It was Levi. Levi. I believe that Dan is excluded because of the tendency of the tribe to become the black sheep of the family through idolatry. Now Dan, throughout its history, right to the point of its scattering in Assyria, Dan was associated with idolatry. The golden calf, one of them in Bethel, the other in Dan. The ephod of Micah, the images of Micah, encouraged by the Danites. And the name of Dan always linked with idolatry, and for that reason, because the tribulation years are years of particular pressure on Israel towards idolatry, with the lifting up of the abomination of desolation in the temple, with the idols on the battlements of the temple, with this whole thought of the worship of Antichrist rather than the living God himself, we find because of this tendency in Dan to idolatry that they're not counted amongst the witnesses. Just to press on a little, Dan, a serpent by the way, an adder in the path. Not very complimentary, although of course there's victory there as far as their ability as warriors is concerned. The rider horse and his rider is brought down by Dan. Now the horse is never linked with Israel. God doesn't like the horse associated with his people. And it was only until King David started to develop stables, and then Solomon, of course, with all his horses, that the horse became used amongst the tribes of Israel.
The horse was always the animal that was used in war by the nations against Israel. There was always the tendency for men to trust in horses and in chariots rather than trusting in the living God. And because of this tendency for men to look to the things of their own hands rather than God himself, the horse was excluded in the main from Israel. But so Dan, being the serpent that brings down the horse and its rider, it implies that he was a skilled warrior and the tribe was able to hold their own in the battle. The serpent was also the symbol of the tribe of Dan. Now that is, in their early days, in their early experiences, the tribe had the symbol of the serpent. Later on, and I would think that this came in at the time that they moved away from the area around about Joppa and down those more southern parts of Israel because of the warlike character of the Philistines, when they went to more comfortable surroundings, way up in the north, at the slopes and at the foot of Mount Hermon, then they changed their symbol from the serpent to a soaring eagle. Well, even in the banner itself, you can see something of the transforming grace of God. Isn't that so? And we can start to learn some spiritual lessons from Dan. There was a time when our symbol was something of the bite of the serpent and the sting of the adder, and we were groveling in the dirt of sin. Isn't that so? But through the transforming grace of God, and we were enjoying it in our meeting this morning, we've been able to soar up into the heavenlies and realize we're blessed with all our spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. So, even from Dan, there were those who gained the victory and were able to soar up like the eagle. I don't know what you think about Samson, perhaps the most prominent of all the Danites. Samson's name means a splendid sun. He died in darkness, didn't he, with his eyes put out. Died under the hands of the Philistines, really, following the blinding and the binding and the grinding of his bondage. Nevertheless, in his death, he slew more than in his life. And although there was failure in Samson, as in the whole of the tribe of Dan, he was ultimately able to soar also in the strength of that final victory as the Lord restored strength to him once again. The two other men of God came from Dan, and I want to mention their names particularly this morning. Two worthies of the tribe of Dan. One of them, whose name is Aholiab. Aholiab. Remember, he was a fellow worker with Bezalel when it came to making all the beautiful furniture associated with the tabernacle. And Bezalel, of course, came from Judah. Aholiab came from Dan. Now, those two tribes were at the two extremities of the camp. There was something like 2 million of people in Israel at the time when God put his hand upon two of those 2 million. The campment, according to Josephus, was about 12 miles square. Now, that's a very large area, 12 miles square. I just wonder whether the two men had ever met before. Until such time as God said, I want that man, and I want that man, and I want them to come together in the midst of the camp, and I want them to work for me. I will give them the skills and the wisdom and the ability, and I want them to accomplish something for me in the building of the tabernacle. God always has his workmen like so. Isn't that true? He's able to put his hand on a man here and a man there, perhaps two that have never met before, and then bring their ways together and use them for his glory. Well, it was the case of Aholiab, the man from Dan, who used his skills as also Huram, H-U-R-A-M, a man raised up from the tribe of Dan for the same skills in connection with the temple. So the skill of Dan used in the tabernacle and the skill of Dan used in the temple. The tragedy is, of course, that those skills were perverted for the fashioning of images and of idols that so characterized the tribe. The Lord help us to always put our hands to that which is to his glory and not pervert the gifts which he has been pleased to give, not use those gifts for ourselves nor for a baser purpose. Well, I think that's as far as we can go this morning. Remember, of course, that Dan will have a place in the millennium, and one of the tribes, amongst the tribes, he'll carry responsibility right through that millennial day. God has his eye upon the people of Dan, and he will restore them in his good time. Well, we got through three tribes last week. We only managed two this week. That doesn't augur too well for next week, does it? Never mind, we might get through one next week. But in any case, I trust we're learning the lessons, and then you'll be able to apply your own selves to the tribes whom we're not able to speak about on the Sunday morning. But let us get the good out of Judah, which means praise, and of Dan, who was the judge in Israel. Let us pray. Our Father, now we just commend ourselves to thee as we separate. We thank thee for thy goodness to us in the past week since we met in this fashion. We thank thee that we've been able to praise the Lord this morning. We thank thee for the measure of soundness of mind and soundness of body which we enjoy, so that we can be occupied in thy glorious service and occupied in thy praise. Now we, as we separate, we commend the rest of this day to thee and pray thee for thy gracious undertaking. We ask particularly for the gospel as it's preached in this place tonight. May it be preached in power and in the demonstration of God the Holy Spirit. And we pray thee that this night souls will be saved. So we commend the meeting to thee, commend the following week to thee until the coming of the Lord. And may this place be blessed and be a blessing to the people round about. So then we give thanks in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.